Our assigned lectionary text for this Sunday comes again from the Gospel of Mark, reading from the 12th chapter. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses. And for the sake of appearances, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Each fall, when the temperatures start to drop and the leaves start to change their color and drop from the trees, you can be assured of one thing. A Presbyterian church near you is in the midst of its stewardship campaign. It's the annual rite of passage before the season of Advent and the finalizing of the church budget for the coming year. Yet it is incredibly important to remember, however, that biblical stewardship is not about fundraising. Rather, it's a spiritual discipline that becomes a way of life. In fact, good stewardship is more about our need to give and contribute in response to God's goodness and grace than it is about the church's need to receive. And one of the scripture passages that comes up every 3 years on the assigned lectionary church calendar during stewardship season is today's gospel reading from Mark 12. And you may be familiar with this biblical story. It's often called the widow's mite. That's M-I-T-E, which was an old word for coin, the widow's coin. Growing up, I always thought it was M-I-G-H-T and had no idea why this widow was so strong. Well, traditionally, and I emphasize traditionally, the church has used this story of the destitute widow as the ideal symbol for Christian generosity, wholehearted discipleship, good stewardship, and total commitment. And traditional sermons on this text often tend to overlook the wealthy people in this story who gave out of only their abundance, as well as they downplay the behavior of the scribe. Well, why? Well, because stewardship season is not a good time to offend church members, especially the wealthier ones who quantitatively larger financial gifts are needed to raise the funds to support the church budget. But you know, upon reflection, there might be some wisdom to that approach. Not here. But this story, therefore, is most often interpreted as a sentimental tale of sacrificial giving, of giving your all to God. Now, if the overall message is that there is nothing in our lives or in our being that should be held back from God, well, that's fine. I agree with that. But that's not usually what happens. Case in point, one biblical commentary I looked at this past week interpreted the story in a typically traditional way. Quote, "What makes the widow's gift valuable and important is not its size, but the heart and sacrifice behind it. In the eyes of the passers-by, the widow's offering is virtually worthless, but in the sight of God, it is most precious." Well, I tend to be wary of any commentator that uses the word precious. But he continues. After throwing her last two coins in the box, she is able to say, "This is the best I can do, for it's all that I have got." What wins her the Lord's favor and earns his commendation is the fact that she kept nothing back for herself. Her small gift is her all. In a way, she is making an offering of her total life to God. The gospel story invites us, he concludes, to live in a way that hurts. That does not count the cost, for it is in giving that we receive. Well, I'm glad that College Hill is not a traditional congregation, or that I have become a fairly non-traditional preacher. Because when I now hear this story interpreted in this way, it makes me cringe. I even find it theologically and socially offensive. Why? Because the only way to interpret the story in such a manner is through a complete disregard for its historical context. One would have to ignore the social, political, and religious dimensions of the text, as well as its place in the Gospel of Mark, to turn it into a sentimental tale of good stewardship. So let's look at it in context. According to Mark, watching the destitute widow throw her last two coins into the temple treasury comes at the very end of Jesus' public ministry during the last week of his life. Jesus had just overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple, in the courtyard, just a few days earlier. So the gospel writer has already made it clear that Jesus thought that part of the institutionalized religious temple system had become corrupt and abusive. And added to that, the most important element needed to help interpret this story of the widow is what immediately precedes it. And that is why it was included in today's reading. Jesus says, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes," oh well, "and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Oh, who are the scribes? The scribes were scholars and lawyers and interpreters of the Hebrew law, the Torah, found in part of the first five books of what we call the Old Testament. But Jesus doesn't criticize all scribes, just the ones who were putting themselves on public display, the ones who were pretentious, arrogant, and demanded places of honor and prestige, the ones who put up a pretense of piety, all the while draining the resources of widows who were already near the bottom rung of the social ladder. Well, Jesus particularly condemns the hypocrisy of their long prayers that were used to mask their greed, their religious practices used as a pretext for injustice, and using religion for personal gain. How does any of this relate to us today? Well, it immediately reminded me of certain TV evangelists, faith healers, and some of those who preach a prosperity gospel. That includes any who take advantage of and prey on the poor, the elderly, the sick, and desperate, and yes, even the superstitious, asking them to send in their money in return for God's blessing and an answer to their prayers. In my opinion, this is among the worst forms of religious exploitation and spiritual abuse. So it is with all this in mind that Mark next tells the story of the widow's offering, therefore continuing the theme of the exploitation of widowed women. Yet unlike traditional interpretations, modern progressive biblical scholars are asking new and different questions of this text. For instance, the text does not explicitly praise the widow's actions, but merely comments on the size of her offering and sacrifice. Rather, she serves as a concrete example of how innocent people could be victimized by the temple authorities. How? Well, many believe today that Jesus' comments about the widow are really meant to be a sad lament about her predicament and continue the denunciation of the scribes, who instead of caring for this woman as the law directed them to do, are part of an institutional system that is robbing her of her last pennies. In fact, there is much evidence to suggest that Jesus was not teaching about giving until it hurts at all, but rather is attacking both the scribes and those elements within the religious temple system that compelled this woman to offer her last tiny coins, as though God would demand such a total financial sacrifice of the poor of this world. Let me reiterate this last point. Do you believe in a God that would require you to give up all that you own and all that you have to the church? Well, I don't. That's some kind of greedy, legalistic God, not the God of compassion and grace that we profess. So perhaps this story, in its context, asks us to see the scribes not just as bad examples, but also as part of a corrupted system, a religious system, no less, that abuses and exploits the poor for its own gain. A religious system that's more concerned with its institutional maintenance than it is on ministering to those in need. The woman who Jesus observes, far from being a sentimental example of faithful stewardship, is instead an unwitting pawn of an abusive institutional system demanding her obedience. So it is in this context this morning that I remind you that it's Stewardship Sunday, the day the church asks you to give of your time and talents and financial resources to this religious system. Perhaps today's gospel lesson then should be seen as a warning to churches, including our own, to see if our religious systems have been infiltrated by any injustice or exploitation of others. We're asked to evaluate whether our piety, our spirituality is genuine, or just a big show of hypocritical appearances. I wonder what Jesus would have to say about the institutionalized Christian religious systems of today. For when Christianity is in any way guilty of injustice, oppression, or exploitation, which I personally believe it sometimes is, then perhaps Jesus' condemnation of the scribes applies to us as well. So I'm here this morning, therefore, not to tell you to give until it hurts, but rather to thank you for your contributions of time and talents and, yes, financial resources that are used hopefully in a faithful and responsible manner and with integrity to help support the work and ministry of this congregation and beyond, building up the kingdom of God in our midst. Together, let's evaluate with a discerning eye what we do and what we say, so that we might make right any abuse, injustice, or exploitation that we discover in our religious system. Perhaps most importantly, though, understand your stewardship as a spiritual discipline, as a guide to a way of life. Amen.